Bless and peace on you. Troy Brewer coming at you strong. Yeah, that's right. And I ain't scared, man. God bless you so much, man. I'm so appreciative of you plugging into my podcast. And today, guys, I'm actually going to be taking you to one of my episodes of something new that I just started that's called The Prophetic Life. It's a personal mentoring community that you sign up for. And man, we've already had hundreds of people sign up for it, and I'm so grateful for that. Like, yay, we anticipate growing that into the tens of thousands. It's been something that we've been thinking about for a long, long time. We've been working on it for a long, long time. We wanted to launch it in a way where there wasn't lots of bugs, you know, and dude, I want to tell you, there has been bugs. The problem is that we're actually working with Facebook, and of course, most of the things on Facebook are completely proprietary, and you can't. Oh, anyway, it's okay. We're working it all out. I got a great team of people, and I am grateful for them. And man, they were all working so hard. But I want to tell you, I'm more excited about the prophetic life than I've been in any new ministry I've done in a long, long time. I'm loving it. At the time that I'm recording this, we have recorded nine sessions. And some of these sessions are people that I'm interviewing. You're going to be hearing that today. So here you go to a special edition of The Prophetic Life. Here we go. This guy that you're about to meet, I have known for 34 years. And I've known him very closely. And let me tell you the different kinds of relationships that I've had with this man. This man has been my friend. He has been a spiritual daddy to me. He has been my pastor. He's still my pastor. He has traveled with me all over the world, literally all over the world. He's been with me to, God, I really don't know where all he, I'll have to ask him because we do so many trips, but I mean, I know I've been with him to Israel, and I know that he's been with me to Uganda several times. And I might be making this up, but I think he's been with me to India. And anyway, he's been with me all over Mexico. I've worked with him. He's a carpenter, and the guy can fix anything and work on anything. And I actually painted for him years and years ago. I worked for him. I was his youth pastor at one point, long, long, long time ago, just about 30 years ago. He's been an elder in our church. He has been on the board, and he's probably in the top five people who have made the greatest impact of anybody that I've ever known on my life. Guys, this is Jim Maxwell from Big Time Early Texas. Pastor Jim, are you there, man?
I'm here, Pastor Troy. You know, every time you introduce me, I think you're talking about somebody else.
No, it's you. I promise you. You're a great guy. And you really have. I just want to, one of the things I'm trying to do through this mentoring community, Pastor Jim, is share a lot of the people that the world doesn't know, but they're big time people in the kingdom. And you are definitely one of those people. And not only just in the kingdom at large, but just to me. I mean, I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke up your skirt to say that you actually have been probably one of the top five people out of all the human beings I've met on the planet Earth that have made the biggest impact on me. And I want to just start off by just saying thanks. Thank you for putting up with me all these years.
Well, you know, it's just an honor to be a part of the kingdom and know that there are some people that do follow. And you're one of the great ones that I believe the seed was planted in you, and you're just such a joy and a crown for our life. We're excited about that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Well, I am a part of your legacy. I mean, I am. And I was supposed to be a joy and a crown to you. And I know those verses because you're the one who got me those. Aren't I? And, as a matter of fact, a lot of things that I preach and teach come directly from you. Like I say all the time, you know, I'm not going to be defeated by a defeated devil. That is your line. That actually comes from you. all of my teaching on grace being the God-given ability to overcome, that comes from you. You were the one, and that's awesome. One of the people of your ministry that has made such a huge impact upon my life. Let me think of a few others. That the whole thing of Abraham going to the mountain. If anybody has ever heard that, I stole all that directly from you. Awesome. And everybody, that's Pastor awesome. Troy, you're a genius. I'm like, yes, yes, I am.
Yes, actually,
they're all your notes. It was all under your sermons. I don't know how many thousands of hours of sermons that I've heard you speak. I promise you, and this is no lie, I have never one time heard you preach that I didn't walk away going, wow. Never.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
And I know that that's the Lord. And again, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I mean, I want to talk about preaching, and I want to talk about pastoring, and I want to talk about leading, and I want to talk about being, you've been in this for a long time. How long have you been in ministry?
I've actually been in ministry 50 years. I answered the call when I was 15. I became licensed in the assemblies when I was 17.
Wow.
And I'm 67 now, so we've been doing this for a long time.
Are you really 67? Wow.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. I should have said that. Now
I
won't
tell anybody. It'd be our secret. That's
crazy. But yeah, it's just, when the call is real, and you know that's the thing that you're supposed to be doing, and God is in it, then there's nothing that can distract you from that. And I think a lot of people in ministry today are doing it out of a job, a position, a profession, when it ought to be a calling. And if it's a calling, you do it for the right reasons. And when you do things for the right reasons, then God's blessing is upon it. So that's what it's all about.
I know that just being able to be faithful, which is another thing, too, that I learned from you, just faithfulness. I learned that from you. And I mean, back in the early days, in the late 80s, when Leanna and I were going to your church and just sitting there, I mean, we were there every time, the doors were open, and I just couldn't get enough. I was intrigued with how you loved the word and how you knew the word and how you wielded the word. I was blown away. I had never known anybody. I was a brand new Christian, but I'd never known anybody that knew the word the way that you knew the word. And then in working with you and in doing life with you, there's no difference in your life in private than there is in public. I mean, this is the life that you live 24 hours a day. This is it.
Well, that, of course, it was part of my bringing up too. My dad was in ministry, and one thing that I discovered, for the anointing to be real, the life has to be real. There are a lot of people that have the idea that, I can just go to somebody, they can lay their hands on me, I can receive their anointing, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. The anointing is a result of your lifestyle of obedience, and if there's no obedience, there is no power. So when I was young, I just realized that's the only way to do what we do and do it right is obedience. One of my favorite scriptures, James 1:22. If you hear the word, don't do it, you deceive yourself. So we are obligated as leaders in the kingdom to hear the word and then obey that word. And our obedience then becomes the display of our faith. And if we're going to lead and people are going to follow us, we need to make sure that they're following the word, which would be our obedience to that word. And that's where the anointing lies, I believe.
You have taught me so much about the anointing, the overflow of the presence of the Lord, right? How exactly would you define the anointing?
Let me just say before I tell you that, every time I hear you preach, and if my wife is with me and I'm listening, and I said, man, I love to hear that because that is exactly the way I said it. So, well, here we go. The anointing. The anointing is... it's more than a feeling. It's more than an emotion. It's more than something that you experience on a Sunday morning or in a church service. The anointing must become a lifestyle. And I describe it this way as the overflow. It means that I'm receiving from God everything that I need. My needs are met. My understanding, I'm walking in faith, and I know that God's supplying my needs. I have an ability to overcome because of his spirit and his anointing in me. But then the anointing becomes the overflow. That means everything in heaven belongs to me. I have access to it, but it's not for me. It's for me to be a vessel for it to flow through. So now the anointing becomes the overflow. That means the after I receive what I need from God, my revelation of truth, I now have something to give away. And it is what flows out of me. It's that river. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So I would just describe the anointing not as an experience, a feeling, or an emotion, but it is the overflow of God's presence, God's power, God's will being displayed in my lifestyle.
Come on. Amen. 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 Yeah. When I first started really discovering the anointing, you know, it was through your ministry years and years ago. And then, of course, I've had to grow in my development of the anointing within my life, because what's real is the anointing grows in your life as you develop your walk with King Jesus. You can be anointed prophetically for something, but then you can also be anointed for the capability of something right now. Well, there's a big gap between the two. You got to walk out a whole lot of stuff. And as you say, it's not a job that you do. It's a life that you live. You have to be willing to live that life. And that's a 24/7 thing. That is not it only happens on Sunday thing. That is an every single day thing.
That's exactly right. And I think that, you know, if ministry becomes a job to us, then we're in the wrong profession, because it's got to be a relationship. Everything that we do is based upon our heart condition. And if our relationship with God is right, then the words that come out of our mouth are going to be right. And the way that our anointing is displayed is by the words that we speak. Because if we don't speak the word, then it is not of the anointing. That's it.
Amen. So what will the anointing do for you if you are anointing, if you are anointed, and if you carry the presence of God with you into a situation? What happens if you're anointed as opposed to if you're not anointed?
Well, the great thing is, if you are anointed, you're walking in the right step, you're in right relationship, the presence of the Lord, the anointing, actually goes before you and makes all the crooked places straight. We'll find out that, you know, if you're in a dark room and you are the light, when you walk into the room is no longer dark. And that's what the anointing does. If your relationship with God is real, and it's not just something you put on Sunday morning to preach, if it's real, then no matter where you go, the presence of God is with you and he is going before you. And that's where all the blessings come from, because then you have favor. You have favor with the eyes of man. You have favor in the eyes of God. God prepares the hearts of those that are about to hear you, whether they know you're going to speak or not, because the anointing is the presence of God that is ordering your steps, and he's in front of you before you get there.
Okay, so as I have no idea how many sermons you have preached throughout your life. I doubt if you know how many sermons you've preached.
No clue.
I don't have any clue how many I've preached either, and I've just been preaching for 25 years, so I don't know. But you've literally been preaching twice as long as I have. And again, I said this at the beginning, man. I've never heard you preach a sermon that I didn't leave there with a ton of notes and go, I've got my marching orders, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that part of that is the connection that you and I have. You know, I mean, I'm ready for you to teach me anytime. And I'm like so ready for that because of how you pour into me. With that said, I also know what it's like to have to prepare messages. You know, like tomorrow, you know, at the time that we're filming this, it's a Saturday. I'm preaching part two of a new series that I have that's called Welcome Home, because we were just able to open up the doors, right? Welcome Home. And last Sunday, I went through the whole principle, Pastor Jim, of the official welcome, how important it is to give the official welcome to both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I gave instances of that all the way through the Bible, and how that Jesus himself tells Jerusalem, I ain't coming back until you officially welcome me, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? And I went through this whole principle of the official welcome, right? And so we did that at the end of that. We invited the presence of the Holy Spirit into the house. We said, we officially welcome you here. It was powerful. So tomorrow, I'm preaching something that's called House Rules, because it's called Welcome Home, and then the sermon is called House Rules, and it eventually gets off into grace, and grace not only being unmerited favor, but grace being God-given ability to overcome, which you were the one that taught me that years and years ago.
Yeah.
And that also, and also endless second chances when it comes to running to the presence of God. And I'm going to be talking about all those things tomorrow. Well, I know what I had to go through to put together that message. I know how I did all that. What does that look like for you when you put together a word and you get ready to preach? What is that?
Well, you know, it goes back to that relational thing, because if you've got something in your heart, you've got something in your spirit that is real, there's so many examples and connections that the Holy Spirit just ignites inside of you. I'm in the middle of a series right now, simply entitled "Fellowshipping God." I think I'm in part four tomorrow, "Fellowshipping God," and what that's out of my personal relationship with God, because I'm seeking Him, I'm desiring to know Him, I want to know the Father, and the way I get to know the Father is by the revelation of who the Son is. And when I get a revelation of the Son, then I get a revelation of His love for me, and then understanding the love that goes beyond knowledge. All of those things just begin to explode inside of me. Now, I think a benefit that I have is because I have been in the Word literally all of my life. I have had a hunger for the Word all of my life, and I've had a revelation that it is the Word that directs me in every decision in my life. So it's easy for me just to, you know, to look at a road sign and get a revelation of the Word, because that's what is in me. Now, knowing my gift in the body of Christ as part of that fivefold ministry gift, my position in the body is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And there's no way to teach, there's no way to mature the saints without the Word, but it cannot be just a sermon. It must be a revelation to me. Because I believe that I preach from my head, people receive it in their head, but it doesn't change them. That's religion. But if I preach from my heart or from my spirit, they'll receive it in their spirit, and that becomes life-changing. So the sermons, so-called, that I preach is more of a revelation of my life and my walk with God personally that I have revealed to me, so that it becomes a message of power when it's received by the one that hears. Now, the one that hears, the only way it changes them is if they have a hunger to receive it. If they have a desire to receive it, that's where God meets them. If it's another religious experience for them, they're not going to change anyway. But when you have that, there has to be that connection from the person that is declaring the word. Their heart has to be right before the word they speak has any power or anointing to be received, for a person to receive the word and be changed by it. As far as preparing sermons, it's a lifestyle for me.
It is a lifestyle.
You know, throughout the years, I've been able to produce untold hours of, you know, teaching media all through, and it's just everywhere. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, and I'm grateful for that. And it's just a great privilege to be able to do that. But I really miss the personal mentoring side of ministry. Hello, everybody. This is Troy Brewer, and I've got an answer for that. I have come up with a team of people who wants to help me mentor you, and we're doing it through an exclusive community that you can sign up for called The Prophetic Life. I'm going to come on and only be available to people who sign up for this exclusive community, maybe every single day. I'm talking about, it's very easy for me to do that because I have so many studios. Like, why can't we just turn on the cameras and just say, hey, I want to talk you through subjects like how to interpret your dreams, my 16 core values, how to understand and search out the language, how to go after radical encounters, and so much more. It's called The Prophetic Life, and you sign up at troybrewer.com or call 877-413-0888.
This is what I'm trying to get to, in mentoring everybody that's watching this, is that the word that you have within you, whether you're a preacher or you're not a preacher, whether you're an evangelist or a pastor or an apostle or a teacher or whatever it is that you are, the word that you have that makes an impact is the word that made an impact on you. And I learned this from you, Pastor Jim, that a good preacher preaches from his overflow. So I remember one time you came and you did a roast of me, and I don't even remember what the occasion was, but it was like 2007 or 8 or something. You came and you did a roast, and when you got up and when you was making fun of me, you said, Troy has the wildest stories of anybody I know, and he is always in the center of his own story. And if they're all his stories are all about him. You're kind of making fun of me about that. But actually, the stories that I tell are actually my stories. This is my story. This is my song, right? These are my stories. And I think that a good preacher preaches out of his overflow. This is what God is speaking to me, and this is how it's changing my life. And so this is what I want to say to you. You become a well springing up.
Yeah. And that's what a leader is, because when you preach by that example, then people connect to that and they have something that they say, if that happened for him, then it can happen for me. And right. And that's why God's called us to do what we do.
Come on. That's awesome, man. So I do tell my own stories. I just don't want me to be the hero of all my stories. Right. I want Jesus to be the hero of all my stories. So I get up and tell everybody how stupid I am sometimes. Sometimes I get up and tell everybody the outright asinine things that I have done trying to do things right. And they just got all messed up in one way or another. And I said, oh, man, and I don't mind telling people those mistakes. Because I'm going to show people how Jesus walked me all the way through it and how it still bore good fruit. Right on. Well, if you're religious, you cannot do that. You cannot be real.
Yeah, that's the example of Jesus. He had to show us his humanity before we would receive his message. And although in his humanity there was no sin, he was our example. But in our humanity, sometimes that's the thing that people connect to, the things that we do, they can relate to, and that makes us good leaders in the kingdom.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So again, friends, listen to me say this to you. Just take it from Pastor Jim, take it from me, that if you want the word within you to make a powerful impact on other people's lives, it's not going to be because you try and figure out what they need to hear. That's going to make you mean and that's going to make you religious. Okay. I don't get up from church and get behind the pulpit and look over and I see Sister Susie Rottenhart is sitting right over there and she needs a sermon about this. And Brother Joe over there, that brother needs a sermon about this. Give me a break, man. You get up there and you demonstrate what Jesus is saying to you. That's how it works. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Yeah. Right on?
That's it. That's absolutely right. You know, and it becomes a flow. It's not a chore to put sermons together. It becomes a flow of a revelation we're walking in. Just like when we were doing the revivals, we did the extended revivals for 4.5 years. We preached nonstop, sometimes 8 times a week, and some revivals 25 weeks, 21 weeks, 17 weeks. And it was not having to prepare a sermon for each service. It was a walking in the revelation of what God was speaking to me and to the church and to the hearer at that season. And when you're walking in that, there's freedom in that. Ministry should never be a chore for those that are truly called. We may get bogged down in doing things we shouldn't be doing, and there's no such thing as spiritual burnout. There's physical burnout, there's natural burnout, but the spirit never burns out. So I say, instead of walking in the flesh, let's walk in the spirit and be free and enjoy life.
Come on. Jim, you know, even in my own life, I mean, okay, so I'm responsible for the Sunday services, as you very well know. I'm responsible for the Wednesday night service. I'm responsible for Prophetic Wednesday. I do this, what I'm doing with you. How many of these do we do, Tab, a week, do you think?
These a week.
Yeah, I mean, how many of these things do we do? Anyway, I do about, I want to say probably a dozen of these right here, just in getting on live TV, and I have to have content for all of that. I also do, I have my staff meetings, and then I have my whole world is about content. Oh, and then of course I have my TV shows. So, and then I have my radio shows and so I've content. But I want to tell you right now, none of that is a burden to me. None of it is.
Because I
live a lifestyle of, number one, knowing the word of God, and number two, knowing what God is dealing with me about. That's it.
There you go.
When we
obey as individuals, the body of Christ increases, because each individual's doing their thing, obeying their place in the body, and then the kingdom is built as a result of it.
Amen. Darn on, brother.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Pastor, awesome. before we finish this up, I also want to ask you about pastoring and what you see as the leader of your church. Let me rephrase this. Okay, for us, we have made the word pastor to be synonymous for whatever a leader is in the body of Jesus. I mean, the church has just basically done that. Okay, well, he's the pastor. But we know that that is not necessarily the role of the office of a pastor, right? So yes, he's the lead and to feed the flock. Yes, he's to do all that. But what I'm trying to say is I've seen my role as a senior pastor and my understanding of that role change throughout the years. And I think that there's a couple of things for me that I think that my main role and my main responsibility is as the senior leader, not so much as the senior pastor of Open Door, but as the senior leader of Open Door Church, I think that my main responsibility is to be the chief architect of the culture of the house, to be the vision setter, and to constantly be demonstrating and to be saying, these are our goals, these are our wins. This is what we make a big deal out of. This is what we do not make a big deal out of. And as far as leadership, I kind of lean into those kinds of things. What would you say that you understand your main responsibilities of being the senior leader of Freedom Fellowship?
Well, you know, and what you're saying is absolutely right. As a pastor, I believe we are called to be the visionary of the church. We're the one that God speaks to about the direction, and we become the visionary. We cast the vision. We portray the vision completely. And then people that have a desire to be a part of that body, they catch that vision. You know, the Lord teaches us in his word. He said that if your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. But if your eye is single, it's full of light. And that word single means that you have a singleness of focus. The word evil is the word divided, or you have more than one vision, or division. As a pastor, our role is to completely portray a singleness of vision. Now, there's many areas involved in that, but we are all going one direction with one goal, with one purpose in mind. And when you are able to portray a vision continually, and you have a team that you put together that becomes your vision team that are willing to carry that vision, then God is able to explode that vision in the minds of other people. Because the more you talk about it, the more you write the vision, make it plain, the more people are able to run with it. And so our job is not just to preach sermons and be administrators and do things. Our job is simply to portray the vision of the house so that people will follow, and then he builds the house. It's not our church, it's his.
Yes, sir. Pastor Jim, you have been such a good pastor to me through the years. I've learned so much by watching you. I've learned so much by looking at your marriage. I've learned so much by looking at your patience and your love for people. And I mean, you know, I've seen bad things in the church world, as everybody that's involved in the church world has seen. Do you know what I've never seen out of you? I've never seen you ever be reactive in your ministry to really bad and terrible things. I've never seen it one time. You've always been so pro about going forward, whatever it is that you're doing. Your demeanor and the way that you carry the love of Jesus has made a tremendous impact to me, sir. I'm so grateful for you, man.
Yeah. Well, that's an honor. There's one thing that a statement that I go by continuously, and that is having wisdom, the wisdom of God. You know, he says if you lack wisdom, you ask of God, he gives it to you. I do that daily. So I feel the necessity to walk in his wisdom. But a definition for wisdom that I use is this: wisdom is knowing what to ignore. And sometimes just knowing what not to ignore. But for the most part, wisdom is knowing what to ignore. And when you learn to ignore those things that stir the flesh,
that stir
the feelings and the emotions, cast down those thoughts and imaginations, then you can walk in the wisdom of God to keep marching toward the plan that God has for you, pressing toward the mark.
That's good. Pastor Jim, would you please pray for everybody that's a part of this community, that we would know how to walk in the anointing, that we would know how to live life from the anointing, that we would know how to demonstrate the word of God in a way that is impactful, that we would be able to faithful and we'd be able to be faithful and outlast the issues for 50 years like what you have. Yeah. Would you pray that kind of a prayer over us?
I'll do that. Father, I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be connected with you and with one another in the body of Christ and in your kingdom. Lord, I declare that there is absolutely no weapon that's formed against us that can prosper. And every tongue that's risen against us in judgment, we condemn the authority of those words. We yield our lives to you. And Lord, I ask right now for your Holy Spirit to do a work that only you can do in the life of everyone that is watching and listening to this right now. Lord, we are each individual members of your body. We are members in the house that you are setting in your house. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to find our place in your kingdom so that we can be the light and we can be the person you've called us to be. We can be the gift to the body of Christ and to the world. I ask, Father, for you to give insight, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that as individuals, we can know what your word says, but not only that, we can know how to apply it to our lives. We can know how to live in obedience to that word so that we will not be deceived and so that the anointing will grow in our lives. Now, I thank you, Father, right now, because I know that you have a plan. You have a purpose, and you're putting all of this together in these last days, in this end time, for the greatest revival and awakening that the world has ever experienced. And we just want to say thank you because you're allowing us to be a part of that move. Thank you for that revival. Thank you for that awakening that begins in each of us individually. So I ask you, Lord, to stir up the gifts, stir up the anointing, stir up the hunger, stir up the desire for more of you, so that as we hear your word, we will not just be involved in ritual and routine, but we'll be involved in the revelation of truth that changes us and changes those that are around us. So, Father, we receive your word and your will in heaven done to us and through us from this moment forward, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Pastor Jim, hey, thank you so much, man, for joining us. And I would like for everybody that's watching right now, type in what are the kinds of things that you would like me to ask Pastor Jim about. And also, and then the next time I have him on, we will bring up some of those specific questions. And then also, I do want you guys to know that I'm about to start calling several people a week that have signed up on this and talk to you about some of the questions that you have actually written down. It's one of the cool things that we're about to be doing. But guys, let me ask you, Pastor Jim, if people want to find your ministry and they want to know how to plug into your ministry, how do they do that?
Well, there's one way to do it. Our Facebook page is Freedom Fellowship Early. We are actually in Early, Texas, but it's Freedom Fellowship Church Early. I'm sorry, I left the church out. Freedom Fellowship Church Early. And then our website is ffcearly.org. And you can connect with us either way there. And we're there every week.
You know, brother, that King Jesus says, those that seek me early find me, right?
That's exactly right. You got it. We are the early church.
Those that seek him early find him, man. Yeah, I love
it. I need to come
down there to your church, man. I need to come down there and
see you. Gotta come.
A long time.
Absolutely. We're actually having church again, so it's great.
Yeah, when did you guys fire back up?
2 weeks ago. This will be our third service.
Okay, and, this will be our second.
It's going great. It's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, praise God.
Of course, we're reaching a whole lot more people online than we ever were, too. So that's good, too.
Yeah, us too. So, friends, you can actually plug into his ministry online and check out his amazing team. Okay, Pastor Jim, I love you, sir, and I'm so grateful for you joining me today. Thank
love
you so
Pastor
much.
Love you,
Pastor
Troy.
God bless you.
Keep up the good work. God bless
you. I will.
You
too, sir. Okay, bye-bye. Wow. Yeah. Can you imagine having people in your life that have been in ministry full-time for 50 years, taking on hell with a water pistol? One of the things that I can tell you about Pastor Jim is that we're talking like, 40 and 50 years ago, he always had mixed race congregations, which was very controversial everywhere he was at. There was always some kind of a race riot going on because he has always had a multi-ethnic congregation, which has always cracked me up about him. And he is so brave. He's so brave. And he has a wonderful wife who is his right-hand man. And you know what, man, she, Pastor Anita, again, all of them come from multiple generations of pastors and leaders. And this a big part of everything that is my life has come from more than 30 years of walking through the Word with this man that I just now brought to you, Pastor Jim Maxwell. All right, my friends. Hey, listen, again, be sure and write stuff down here for me to look at. Keep this interactive. I hope that this has been a big blessing to you. Tabitha, what was your big takeaway in all that? Do you have a takeaway in any of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, yeah. So what is your big
thing about the anointing?
Yeah. So the whole thing about the anointing, about this is what the anointing is, right? And he is literally an expert about talking about the anointing, right? And everybody's like, well, if I'm called by God, then I'm just automatically anointed. Well, it's a prophetic anointing, but it's not a practical anointing. The practical anointing happens as you walk things out. You literally qualify for it.
Yeah. And how y'all preach from y'all's overflow.
And how we preach from our overflow.
How you have relationships too. If someone comes to you with a problem, you don't talk to them about their problem.
That's right. That's exactly right. You never, ever, ever try and figure out what is the word that this guy needs to hear. What you try and figure out, who, no matter who you're talking to, is what is God saying to me concerning this? And like, well, I think that this is a big deal, or I think that. Like, if all you do is take the word of God that you know, and then you look for, let's just say that you've got like a, well, let me put it this way: if you've constantly got a hammer in your hand, you think everything is a nail. So if you constantly have a word about, I don't know, whatever, you should be smoking and drinking, then you're just gonna be looking for a place to hammer that, right? Or whatever your rule is, or whatever your law is, or whatever that is. But if you're somebody that's constantly aware as to how God is speaking to you, you have an anointed word to give to somebody else. And that's what you wanna do. It's a big deal.